Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope you're doing all right. I can't get these headphones to fit. Whose head was in these before? I don't know, but the, you know, it's funny. Headphones generally have marked left and right. I must be, my ears must be backwards. Yeah, because this fits better. It fits better with me turning it around the opposite way from what it says.
I'm not saying anything about the equipment.
I thought you were not going to say anything. You weren't going to admit, you weren't going to tell people, yes, my ears are aimed the wrong way. That would be very odd. Maybe that's why I don't hear things very well. No, everything's okay. Welcome in, everybody. It is the Wednesday Drive. I'm having one of those days where, man, it's like I needed things to time well, and it's worked out perfectly so far. So the explosion's going to happen here during the show. But no, I mean from first thing this morning being on with Wimp and Barry Sanderson, from that to trying to get some stuff done outside before I went over to basketball, and then having to run some errands and trying to make it back in time for football coaches, and then trying to finish up things in the yard and make it here in time for the show. It's been amazing. It's just been like clockwork. So far, so good.
Did you make it there for basketball? Were you there for very, very cool.
Yeah. So, things have been busy day. A lot going on with Bruce Pearl addressing the media before the basketball team left for Nashville, where they'll take on the winner of South Carolina versus the winner of tonight's Arkansas-Vandy game, with that double bye on Friday. And then it was really neat. We had a chance to not just meet with, but meet some of the defensive coaching staff for football. First time the media's had an opportunity to spend some time with DJ Durkin. And had Charles Kelly, Vontrell King-Williams, and then familiar names and familiar guys, and Josh Aldridge and Crime Dog McGriff.
Yeah, I got 20 good minutes with Crime Dog, and he went deep on, and there's players working with Coach Kelly, and there are players working with Crime Dog, but he went pretty in depth about the different guys, and he was really complimentary of some of his new arrivals and some of the returning players. Bill, you were there asking him about who's working. If Keontae Scott takes over as the primary outside corner, then who is going to fill in for Keontae there at slot corner? An interesting question for this defense.
Yeah, I mean, so we had lengthy times with all of them. I've got 16 minutes with Vontrell, but I was only there for like three because there wasn't anybody who had Dan and I mean, there were four people going at one time, and a couple had started, and DJ Durkin came in. So I went over and listened and talked with DJ Durkin, but I didn't have a recorder, so I didn't hear what Vontrell was saying about the defensive line, interior defensive line.
Yeah, no, it's I got a chance to know him really well over the last year. First of all, awesome guy, and I think you can, when people get to watch a little bit on video and then you read some things about him, you'll understand why he was a guy that the players really wanted in this job. And so I think the thing for him is just first of all, I think Trill and Gage Keys are guys that have stepped up and done some good things so far. Yeah. That's a big first step to this. Jason Jones is a guy that they're expecting and demanding a lot from. I think they, I asked him, I said, look, how important is it to find a difference maker, a guy that is a disruptor on the defensive line? He's like, that's what we need him to be, or someone to be.
Mm-hmm.
They need someone to be that disruptor. And so Zacchaeus Walker's inside but working still a little bit outside. They're going to do the same thing with TJ Lindsey. They're going to move him a little bit back and forth too, because he's a bigger body guy.
Yeah, I saw him yesterday with the end, so I was wondering about that.
He'll end up moving some inside. I think they're just trying to, okay, get familiar there first, and then you can move around a young guy later. But, you know, Malik Blockman's inside. Obviously, Bobby James and Travis, DJ Reed. They've got some numbers. When you start talking about really just a couple of positions, maybe you'll play three of those guys together at some point, but probably just two spots, really, because when you think about end and Buck, you'll probably play those guys together a lot in this defense.
Would you think that Buck or interior defensive line are positions where Auburn could be buyers when the transfer portal opens up second half of April?
I don't think it'll be at the Buck, but I do think it'll be at the interior defensive line.
Yeah, I think they're okay. I think they feel okay there.
Yeah, I think they...
I just wonder if they'd want to add another veteran at the Buck, because right now you really have McLeod and a bunch of guys that are largely inexperienced at the college level.
Yeah,
right?
I think they feel okay there, going, hey, look, let's go. And you're right, if the right guy comes along,
sure,
and you say, hey, we can get this guy, then yeah, you wouldn't turn it down. I don't think that they're going to go and go, we got to have this guy. But I do.
The other thing that worries me there, before you answer, because I know you want to go in depth about interior defensive line, I want to hear it. With the Buck, the other thing that makes me think maybe Auburn would be looking, if veterans became available, would be if you have, I mean, you have a lot riding on McLeod staying healthy, and there have been a couple seasons in college football now where the wear and tear of a full season, either leading up to the season or during the season, has hampered him. So I wonder if they'd want to add, although they do sound like they're pretty jazzed about some of the new arrivals.
Waller especially.
That's the thing. I think
on the other hand, there's,
I think the thing about it is, you go,
what a vote of confidence it would be.
If you get through the spring and you go, hey, we feel good enough about Jamonta Waller, we feel good about Amaris Williams, and we feel good about Joe Phillips.
And
Brent Williams is still there. We feel good about that group, that we okay if we have to play those guys significant snaps. And I think that will be determined in the next 2 weeks. I think they'll figure out, are we there? Early returns, I would say, look, early returns, they're probably going to go, if you can find a guy I think it would be a one-year guy. I don't think they're interested in bringing anybody in.
An Elijah McAllister type.
One-year guy, older guy, that's not going to hinder future development of those guys.
Who isn't expecting to play all of the snaps. You know, someone who understands.
Yeah, hey, your role is to help, you know, those guys along too. And I think that could be a possibility. I think absolutely interior defensive line. Even if somebody steps up, I think they're going to go, look, we want another body.
There's only six guys for those two spots,
And that's the thing. You go, yeah, it's three deep, but you know you're going to get some injuries, and you're going to start depending on guys.
Three deep with a couple of guys that haven't played.
The thing you could have is I still believe Keldrick Falk could wind up sliding inside some to more of a three technique some if you want to do some of those things. I think he could do some of that. Obviously, Zacchaeus Walker's there. TJ Lindsey's there. You got some carryover, but I think in terms of two bigger bodies, I think you'd like to have another guy with some experience, because you look at it right now and you got three guys. Two of those haven't played at all here. Mm-hmm. You got Jason Jones, two guys, and then Zacchaeus Walker's a guy, but I still don't know that he's a guy that's at home inside, he hasn't been explosive outside. So I would say that's
outside,
probably
outside
at defensive end. I think when you look at this one, I would say right now, market, when this transfer portal opens up after the spring, that would be the number one spot I would be looking at for Auburn, would be interior defensive line.
That's Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover joining us here as he does on Wednesdays. We're just getting underway. Love for you to join in. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. And again, all that is presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Shout out to Derek and the rest of the group at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Jason, we've talked about it before. This is a fun time of year. There's so much going on. Baseball, getting ready for a conference play, picking up an impressive win. Another really good performance from Connor McBride last night as Auburn baseball knocks off Troy up in the Rocket City.
Yeah, probably as complete a pitching performance as they've had this year. Troy's a team that can swing. They hit a couple of solo home runs last year, but you know, they only had two hits until the ninth inning, had a couple of singles in the ninth, and that was it. But, yeah, four hits, only two walks. That was a really complete performance, and they were able to get, you know, five innings out of Connor McBride, and then you go John Armstrong, Will Cannon, Tanner Bauman, and you go thinking about – We're talking about this with Kirk Sampson today, and he was talking about it from a fantasy baseball, and you guys are fantasy baseball guys, about he's like, how many more middle slash short relief guys that aren't closers are getting picked now because of that, the importance of that role, and in college baseball it's now filtered down. Texas last week beat Texas Tech in a series, and their starting pitching went 8.1 innings.
Over three games.
Total.
Okay.
8.1 innings in three games.
2 2/3 innings and out.
And they won the series against Texas Tech. And you start thinking about how pitching staffs are now developed. And they're developed from the back to the front almost. You still have starters that it's great when you have a guy that goes 6 or 7. But now they're prepared more to know that, hey, we're going to need – you know, 12 innings out of our bullpen on a weekend or whatever it is, and can manage those things.
I wonder how tempted coaching staffs, especially at the college level, will be if you can get a group of guys to buy in and you have the resources to keep a stable like this, to just have a bunch of 9-inning guys as your pitchers and have, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, to – there's concern about what happens.
Nine out guys.
To have a bunch of 9-out guys, you know, to have a bunch of guys that are sort of accustomed to have one turn through the lineup before you go to a fresher option that the offense hasn't seen yet.
I think
we're seeing the third time through the lineup is being phased out right now.
Correct. You know,
no matter where you are. Yeah.
Yes. Correct.
I wonder how long before the second time through the lineup becomes the next target we're going to see.
I think right now, if you feel like if your starter gets you five innings and then you put yourself in a really good spot. That's why if Jose Gonzalez can come back and find that rhythm as an inning eater, then it changes everything about a weekend, because then you think about Auburn from that perspective going, and we mentioned Tanner Bauman, mentioned Will Cannon, mentioned John Armstrong. You think about, you know, Cam Tilley, freshman. You think about, you know, Dylan Watts coming in. Parker Carlson continues to develop. And you start thinking about Zach Crotchfeld. And, like, all of a sudden you start looking at arms, and all of those guys, even Cannon, have the ability to give you two or three innings at a time if you need it. John Armstrong multiple times over a weekend. Tanner Bauman usually multiple times if he's a Friday-Sunday guy. All of a sudden you start going, okay, how many – that's – 15, 16, maybe 18 innings that you start covering. Now you don't have to go, hey, let's see if we can get this guy to the seventh inning, even if we get in trouble and gets like, – that's how you played baseball in 1995. It's not how you play baseball anymore. And now you go, first sign of trouble, okay, well, we're going because we have so many more arms, so many more options, and so many more looks, and that's part of it.
Teams that have more than one guy that they feel like can give them a 6 or 7 inning performance in league play are the teams in the top five of the poll, right?
Well,
like the teams that have that kind of
Arkansas is number one team in the country right now. They have three legitimate starters that can do those things. Offense hasn't been very good to this point. They get Missouri this weekend, they'll sweep, and they'll still be rolling when they come to Auburn next week. But I don't know that they're the most talented team. We saw LSU last year. Pitching staff wasn't great outside of one guy, but they had almost a guaranteed win every Friday night.
It was almost a complete game.
Correct, and it saved them from the rest of the weekend. Now they go out and get a couple of transfers this year and do some things and have Thatcher Hurd back and some arms. Different look, but yeah. Vandy has legitimate starting pitching that Auburn will see this weekend. Not as great offensively. Interesting matchup, but I mean, Florida has Offense, pitching hasn't been great, even though they got a first rounder. It's crazy.
Does Auburn have A&M on the schedule in the regular season? I forget.
Auburn in the first 4 weeks has four teams in the top eight in the country.
That's a good A&M undefeated, I believe, going into league play.
They
now.
Go to Gainesville this weekend. Yeah Auburn has top eight teams. LSU is the fourth one.
Yes.
So you have LSU here, but you have
no.
It's not LSU.
Is it Arkansas?
Who is it? It's Vandy, Arkansas, A&M.
And somebody else who's higher ranked than Vandy. At least they were. Who is it? You were just talking about it yesterday.
We were just talking about it yesterday. It might be LSU. Or is LSU later?
No, it doesn't seem like it's LSU.
I'm looking right now. So. Right,
play the Jeopardy music, Drew, while we
I tell you what, we need to get to break anyway. We'd love for you to join in.
Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the team that hit like 100 home runs already.
We can talk whatever.
We've probably named the eventual national champion at some point during this segment, right? When you think about the teams at the top of the SEC. I mean, Wake Forest, I guess, would be
three different SEC teams the last 3 years.
Wake's been destroyed three out of the last four games. They've given up a ton of runs.
They came into the week, I think, as one of the top, if not the top nine.
Yeah, Duke beat them two out of three, and then they gave up 17 last night.
To Coastal?
To Coastal, yep.
All right, we'll get to our first break of the afternoon. All kinds of things we can talk about. If you'd like to head us in any direction, give us a call, 334-321-1390, as we're just underway here on the Wednesday Drive.
Don't buy the lie. This is Lee County District Attorney Jessica.
1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive, 21 minutes after 4 o'clock here on this nice afternoon. I mean, hey, there's a lot of pollen. Just get used to it for the next month or so. Looks like, maybe we'll have a little rain to help wash it down a little bit here over the next few days. But, yeah, it is a busy time with football spring practice back underway after spring break. As I mentioned, we had a chance to spend some time with the defensive assistants today. And, of course, Bruce Pearl, before Auburn's basketball team left for Nashville. Two games on tap in the SEC tournament today. Mentioned that Arkansas and Vandy play, and the winner there gets South Carolina. And that winner is who Auburn will face. Meanwhile, the other game tonight, Georgia and Missouri. Any thoughts on it? Thoughts on
Vandy, Arkansas is a pretty good game for the Wednesday of the SEC tournament. When you think about what Arkansas was supposed to be coming into the season, how Arkansas has looked at times down the stretch, how Vanderbilt.
I don't know why I would call it good. It might be interesting, but it might not be good.
I don't know if it's
entertaining.
You know what?
Vandy just beat Florida.
I was going to say for the first round.
No, it shows you how deep this league is.
Yes.
I mean, Missouri is even. Missouri has been terrible.
I wasn't going to go quite that far with Missouri, Georgia.
Well, yeah, but those are two teams that are capable of going out and giving you a scare. Missouri has played close to a few games. Georgia at 14-3 or whatever they were the team that people's like, hey, this is going to be a surprise team in the country, and just completely fell apart.
Well, they and Ole Miss.
Yeah, correct. And Ole Miss, we could see that one coming. Yeah. Non-conference schedule, playing at home, some of those things. But, yeah, you're right. Vandy, here you go. I mean, like, is this it for Jerry Stackhouse? I mean, is this it?
What do you think they should do?
I don't think it's working.
I just wonder who can Vandy.
Well, I mean, we
get?
Answer that in every sport except for baseball.
You know, there's a coach at Grand Canyon doing really impressive work that Vanderbilt should maybe take a look at. His name is Bryce Drew.
Yeah.
He's got a team that's going to the NCAA tournament.
Honestly, at Vandy, if it's me, I'm coming to Samford.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to be looking.
Do you think it needs a gimmick and a style?
I don't think it needs a gimmick. I think it needs a really, really good college basketball coach that can coach guys.
Indiana State?
Like Samford. Yeah. I think Bucky. I think a guy like that, or it doesn't have to be him. Jerry Stackhouse is a wonderful X and O basketball coach. But sometimes in college basketball, it's more about in between the ears. It's It's not
it's
all.
A good, it's a good job too. We were talking off the air.
Oh, it's about, not like Van. It ain't like Vandy football.
Yeah.
Michigan might come open. Ohio State is open. Louisville is now open. That didn't take long after the last game of the season.
Nope. Yeah.
The Kenny Payne thing did not work. Yeah. I think Big Ten and SEC jobs are attractive and will only become more attractive as the divide grows between the SEC and the Big Ten and everyone else when it comes to revenue. And so I think if Vanderbilt were to open up, I think virtually any mid-major coach on the board, James Madison, that's an excellent coach.
Yeah, I just James won 31 Madison, games.
I think that even, as much as I love the Sun Belt, I think if Vanderbilt called the James
Absolutely.
Madison, that's a tough, St. Mary's. I think it would be tough for the St. Mary's coach to walk.
He's not leaving.
That's Randy Bennett, right?
He has been offered everywhere. He has got
UCLA kicked the tires on Randy Bennett.
He's got as good as it gets.
Yeah, but again, the SEC and the Big Ten is going to be
to that point. Washington is done. They lose today. They're in the business now for a new coach. That's a Big Ten school, but it's not football. How different and difficult is it going to be for a basketball guy? Yeah.
Can you get the Wazoo coach?
It's not one of the travel involved
in that for basketball. Football is one thing. For basketball, you got a lot more games. How's that going to work? I don't know that that's as an Mike Coppin is pretty good basketball. I don't know that that's an attractive job for a basketball guy just because it's in the Big Ten because of everything involved with that one now. It's going to be really interesting. But
there are a lot of good coaches in the Mountain West that I wonder
Leon Rice could be the guy from Boise State.
The way we're talking about the Sun Belt, I do wonder if there's if there are a couple coaches in the Mountain West that would look at that Washington job, and even though it's not a full Big Ten thing.
You're going to get somebody I just don't think you're going to go get a big guy to make a move there.
Arizona State might open up too. I wonder if they make a
Bobby
change
Early,
after
the, yeah, but, I mean, yeah. But no, I think Arkansas to me is a dangerous, dangerous basketball team. Now they may lose today, and they very well could.
I think they're favored tomorrow if they win today.
I think they're
favored tomorrow against South Carolina.
I think it's honestly as you head into this week, Auburn could lose Friday, but I think it sets up from a who you could play for Auburn about as well as it could set up in my.
Oh, I agree. Auburn needs to win Friday. They do. I mean, Auburn has. I mean,
well, they haven't won a conference tournament game since 2019.
Since they made the run for Bruce, it's been deep runs or one and done.
Yeah. So I think it sets up well. I don't think you wanted to get Florida. That was not a matchup that's worked out well for Auburn.
State and Florida beat you in the regular season and
physical, bigger, longer teams.
A&M's not a team you're eager to play right now because they
same kind of thing. And they Mississippi State both are in that boat of losing to go home.
A&M sounds like. I mean, they're one of the more interesting teams on the bubble because it feels like it's eye of the beholder, where some folks are looking at them and saying they're not a tournament team right now. Other people have them. They're a popular team to have in the play-in game right now. I wonder if A&M is. I think that they could be in with a win over Ole Miss, out with a loss to Ole Miss tomorrow. That's as desperate a team. I guess you could look at Arkansas the same way because Arkansas needs to win the whole thing
to
get into the NCAAs. And they, unlike any other team you would say that about, and I could eat my words if LSU or Vanderbilt or something, runs the table and wins the SEC tournament. But Arkansas feels like of any team you'd say they're not getting in unless they win it. They seem to have the talent to actually maybe do it, so it's a little different than anyone else on the bottom half of the bracket.
Well, and the thing we don't know is what a committee's going to do. What are they going to look at? Is it strictly net? How much does what factor in? Because all the bracketologists have all these Big 12 schools in because they just saying, well, that's just the best league. Well, how do we know that? For years, people have said, oh, the SEC is the best football league, and people got mad, going, well, they only play each other. Well, here we are in basketball. It's the same thing. They've said all these teams are great. Oklahoma's down 10. They just made a three to cut it to 10 with 2 minutes left. They're going to be 20-12, but 8-11 in Big 12 games, and they're not even on the bubble. I mean, they're a nine as of today, according to Lenardi. how much does that stuff factor in? And does a team, you start thinking about some of these teams, you know, the Indiana States of the world, or people like this that lose, should that team get in, or should a team that's three games under 500 in its own league get in? But it's because of the net, because they lost to a bunch of other good teams.
Yeah, you're right.
You
you're
never
right.
know how it's going to work out.
What number seems right to you as far as like Big 12 teams? That like your I mean, because I would say, I mean, Houston, Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas, BYU, and Texas Tech feel like
they have nine.
Nine seems high.
It should. I just don't. Yeah, I mean, like that's a lot.
Houston, Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas, BYU, Texas Tech, and Texas feel like NCAA tournament teams to me.
Yeah,
the rest of that feels flipped.
I don't, and
I'm anti tournament expansion because once we get into this, like,
well, here's the only reason the
bubble's kind of big as it is.
Well, the only reason I like it is because it allows a team like an Indiana State to get in a tournament that has actually accomplished something, if they'll use it for that. And allow those kind of teams to get in and actually go play a game in a tournament.
Yearly, I make the point, and we'll, you know, Bill, I think you're in agreement on this one. If they want to expand the bubble in the NCAA tournament, you do it by getting rid of the play-in games for the 16 seeds.
Correct.
And making more.
Yeah, let them play the tournament.
And if you want to keep four play-in games,
they're all 11
in Dayton. And if you want to do that, but get stop making automatic qualifiers from one bid leagues.
I agree. Let them go play a one seed and have that experience.
Yes, let them have a real NCAA tournament experience on site wherever you send them, and make the teams at the very end of the bubble.
That's who should have to play in.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
100. I've been saying that the whole time. 100%.
And I don't hate the idea of another. If you want to have four more play-in games,
I'm fine with that.
If you need to expand the tournament, that's a way like. But I just think adding another round feels like a mistake to me, and adding anything.
Here's the thing: you could do it and say, hey, here's what we're going to do: the 11s, we're going to have that's where all our you're going to have four
and
games
and the 12s,
four play-in games for four of those, and four 12s. Or 11s, or whatever it is, or
10s. 10s or 11s. 10s yeah. and
11s. But nobody, I mean, that's an automatic qualifier.
Yeah, those automatic qualifiers
those
should
are
get
safe.
In, and you see how many.
They're safe.
Yes.
And you adjust your seating based on that. Because that's the thing, that's the other thing that bothers me right now is that this partial, and I know we're skipping the SEC tournament, but this partial regionality for an NCAA tournament. Well, it's going to be regional. Well, it's partial. It's only regional for the top four teams. After
right.
that, it doesn't matter. So you're like Auburn. Last time I saw, they had Auburn, Alabama, and Samford all playing in
Spokane,
Washington. Well,
yep.
What good does that do anybody? That doesn't make any sense. Just because that's how the seeding works out, because the other teams go back to how it used to be. You have a Southeast Regionals played in Atlanta. You know who plays there? Everybody in the Southeast. Everybody in the South. East Regionals played in the Meadowlands. You know who plays there? Everybody in the East Regional. Quit trying to – just travel. Everybody there.
I would love for the sites to be unveiled on Selection Sunday. It feels like there'd maybe be logistical issues behind – you know, they want to let people make some travel plans in advance. I think it'd be really cool to announce on Selection Sunday, you know, here are the cities based on – you've made a bracket that makes geographic sense, and then you're going to find the nearest arena or big.
The problem is that you couldn't do it.
Yeah, it would be too difficult to do that. So some of the places,
there was nothing wrong with. Hey, you know where you always had first round games? Salt Lake City, Utah, the Pit. You had places there, and if you got sent there, oh what? You just dealt with it. That's the way it works.
How would you feel about like I've seen a lot of projections where the examples I would use are okay, Washington State. If they're a 5 or a 6 seed, should they be playing in Spokane the first weekend, or does that give them an advantage over the 3 seed they
yes,
could be playing
yes,
in?
Yes, it does.
That doesn't answer my first question, though, right? Should they be playing in Spokane as a 5 seed or a 6 seed?
They should not.
Yeah.
Auburn was in Birmingham last year.
And it wasn't fair.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't
the
fair.
The other example would be Salt Lake City's a host. BYU is on the 5 line.
Correct.
And
that's
line.
One of the places where they potentially you could have Auburn as a 4 playing BYU as a 5 in Salt Lake City.
I think I'm taking BYU in the Sweet 16. That team is fun and
they play really well today.
They bomb the ball. That thing's going to be they're going to be a tough out for just about anybody.
Yeah, and that's a guy to watch out for Louisville.
Ooh.
Former Kentucky player Mark Pope.
Yeah, I do like that one. Okay.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right, we're at the bottom of the hour, a little bit past. Need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Want to join in? Give us a call, 334-321-1390 here on The Drive.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, and Drew at the controls.
I kind of want Jason to react to what I just told him off the air, on the air a little bit, because we were talking about, I pulled up one.
Jerry Palm's.
Yeah, one bracket projection from Jerry Palm. We were talking about who Auburn could face, where they could go. Jerry Palm has Auburn as the 5 seed in the South, and in that pod, he has the South Florida Bulls out of Tampa as the 12 seed. In that one, a team that Jason has seen a little bit of this season. Illinois Samford, talking about Buckyball, the Samford Bulldogs, the 13. That's a difficult draw for Auburn potentially. Samford and South Florida, I think, will both be trendy teams on Selection Sunday to possibly pull off upset. Samford on the 12-13 line. I've seen South Florida seeded higher than a 12 elsewhere on the 10.
23-6.
23-6. You're talking about South Florida's record?
South Florida, 23-6. And three of those losses came to Maine, Hofstra, and UMass before December 3rd. So they've lost three games since then. They beat Florida State by 16.
Three games in lost over to U- 3
lost
months.
Lost to UAB by 4. But then they beat Memphis. They beat Wichita State.
Watch chalk hold in the tournament, but right now I look at the 12s and the 13s and think it's a landmine. It's a minefield.
Yeah, beat Florida Atlantic, beat SMU.
Jerry Palm's 12s are South Florida, James Madison, Grand Canyon, and Richmond.
Yeah, Grand Canyon, if you're playing at Grand Canyon, but I have watched them a little bit too. They're pretty athletic. It's a really – yeah, you're right, though. But we saw it last year, Florida Atlantic. It's going to be the same thing. There's going to be a bunch of games that people are going to go, man, a 12 beat a 5 or a 13 beat a 4 or a 15 beat a 2. And those aren't going to be upsets this year. That's just the way the game is. You got a bunch of those games now. They happen every day.
Will Wade's leading with McNeese in the first half of that championship game. McNeese would probably be on the 13-12 line if they were to.
And they've been pretty good.
They would be 30-3 if they win the championship game, leading Nicholls by 10 right now in the Southland Championship. That one's on ESPN2. Princeton and some. I mean, there's tough teams, and that's probably where Auburn's looking at. I would think that at some point in the last 90 seconds, 2 minutes, we've named the team that Auburn will face in the first round.
Another one, too. If Montana were to beat Montana State in the Brawl of the Wild basketball style tonight, Montana would be a 24-10, probably a 13-14 kind of team.
And you know what? If the committee's got a sense of humor and Virginia's on the 12 line, if the committee's got a bill, right? If you're the NCAA tournament committee and you got a sense of humor,
I don't know that it's a sense of humor.
That'd be the first time those two teams have seen each other since the Final Four in 2019.
You'd be guaranteed if they get in and they're a 12, it would match up against Auburn. There's no question about that, because that's what the NCAA would do. Think it would be funny. And that's a – I mean, you don't want that
Palm's
one
got,
either.
Palm's got Virginia as an 11.
So if they lose today – they play today, right? If they lose today, I don't think they're in. I think they're out. I think the ACC is a danger of having four teams because of the other leagues.
That's a team on the bubble. You rarely see. I think they've sort of phased out 12 seeds in the play-in game. Although you could see one, they've done it before. So you're also, if you're on the 5 line in the NCAA tournament, you could be playing playing the team that played in Dayton a couple of days earlier. That I've seen at least one projection that had Auburn against the winner of a play-in game as the as a 5 seed against the winner of a play-in game for the 12 seed. So a couple of things could happen. Yeah. But I would throw Virginia out there as a team as well that's in the range of teams that could be Auburn's draw in the NCAA
tournament. Yeah, is a team like Kansas State a bubble team? Are they in?
I've seen people that have Kansas State out, which kind of surprised me.
Well, I mean, they're 18-13, 8-10. play Texas today, who's 20-11, 9-9. I mean, like, I understand you're beating up, but if again, if you're 18-14, that's not an NCAA tournament.
Utah's
shouldn't
got a
be
losing record in conference play. Utah's 9-11 in a Pac-12 that was not all that great
They're searching to find other teams in the Pac-12. Yes, here's what you watch out for.
I think Colorado should get in.
Watch out for USC running through that whole thing.
Yeah,
they're healthy for the first time. They won like 7 games since Auburn played them. But right now they're really good. They beat Washington today. That wouldn't be shocked to see USC make a run and get some depth in that tournament.
Can't trust Arizona. They got the talent of a top 5 team. I've seen Caleb Love take over an NCAA tournament before and take North Carolina to the championship game.
Yeah, unless Mike Bibby's playing, I'm like, okay, not so much on Arizona. That team was very different, that Lou Dolson team back then.
Even though Purdue flamed out last year, if I had to guess, like a 1 seed or a 2 seed that's going out early, I just think Arizona can belly flop against the wrong team.
Yeah, the question is, how is the game called? Because Zach Edey, if they don't call fouls and Zach Edey plays 30 minutes, then they're going to be hard to beat. I watched the first half of Florida State and Virginia Tech today. Florida State's a physical basketball team, still one of the best defensive teams in the country. One foul in the first half. They got called for one foul. And I watched, I mean, last night I watched games I'm telling you, the Gonzaga St. Mary's game was a physical basketball game, and neither team was in the bonus until the end. And I'm like, every time I see a play, I'm like, that is 14 fouls in the Southeastern Conference. Right there.
Usually, although
it depends who it is sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you look up and you go, yeah, both teams are in a bonus with 12 minutes left in the half. And I look up and Florida State played a game with one foul in the entire first half today. So that's the other part of it. Depending on how a game's called, who you play might be a big factor in some of this thing.
334-321-1390.
Amazing how that works.
Yeah, no kidding. SEC tournament. Tournament's going on all over the place. The SEC tournament about to get underway, and Auburn will wait for a couple of days. What do you think? I mean, I hear some people going, I sort of wish they didn't have the double bye. I don't know about that.
I know. Here's the thing. One game, it's, go like, hey, if you're playing
would you rather be playing tomorrow?
Then you got to win more. I would rather
be playing tomorrow and let South Carolina have the
correct. Well, maybe the team that played yesterday feels a little better about the conditions and everything. But then
that's what I'm saying.
But then the correct. Next day, if you win, the next day you're in the same.
Correct.
You're in that same situation.
Eventually, the bill comes due.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, sooner or later you go, hey, we got a little bit more rest and we're prepared. And you're going to have one of those names, because if you don't, then you got to be Arkansas and you got to win 4 games. And you go like, well, that ain't happening. I mean, it's happened a couple of times in the past, not many. So you look at it and go, yeah, sooner or later you're going to have a break. For a young basketball team, it might be more of an issue. For a Kentucky who's playing extremely well, this probably not the best thing for them. For Auburn, who's got a bunch of guys that play a lot of basketball, I think it's probably the best case scenario for those older guys.
Let me ask you this: if for a team, I guess forget about the age range for a second, because there's too many teams that you could say this about in the SEC. The confidence boost you get from winning the league and feeling the effects of, we just went through a tournament full of second weekend caliber teams and came out on top, that's worth not getting the rest of the week, you the rest that you would get from being eliminated early. Because I know people try to justify, oh, we got eliminated in the quarterfinals, but we'll be able to be a well-rested team when the first weekend of the NCAAs comes along. Well, the team that didn't get that rest because they kept playing, they benefit too, because they won the tournament.
It's just like the football comparison of, well, bowl game. Well, yeah, you win a bowl game, it doesn't matter. Because there's plenty of examples of a team losing their last game and going back and having a great year, and there's a bunch of examples of that team that lost a bowl game and played horrible and had a great offseason and had a monster year. This same thing in this. Hey, Auburn's 2019 team absolutely used that momentum to run. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of teams that ran through a conference tournament and lost in the first round.
Yeah, Bruce was talking about it today. Now, one thing he said today that wasn't the most exciting thing in the world is he said, a lot of times teams that you see make runs were teams that feel like they underachieved. Teams that have a lot of talent. He pointed out the 2019 team, said, you know, we were a 5-seed. We weren't great in the conference that year. And we play with a chip on our shoulder. He said, now this team didn't underachieve it. I'm thinking, well, gee, that's not an exciting thing to be telling the Auburn fan base. But then he talked about the group and how hungry they are and things like that. But yeah, he was talking about different things, what it takes to make a run. Obviously, it takes talent. It takes motivation. I mean, sometimes.
And that's where Arkansas comes in. That's where a team like Arkansas becomes a dangerous team in a situation.
You've got to be
concerned
about them.
Yeah, and so, South Carolina, as overachieved as you could get. They're securely in, even though their net's not very good. I mean, they're going to be in the tournament. But you start thinking about, okay, who fits that? Everybody else is in the spot. Florida probably overachieved as well. Who's sitting on that other side? There's not really anybody other than Arkansas.
No, not really.
I don't think so.
That's not our.
Yeah, and so,
right. LSU finished strong, but I suspect.
Yeah, the expectations.
Maybe Mississippi State.
I suspect
Mississippi State an underachiever. Ole Miss a little bit, but Ole Miss is not winning away from home, not enough. Mississippi State has the firepower.
I tell you what,
Arkansas is the underachiever because they were a ranked team.
Correct. I'd be stunned if A&M lost to Ole Miss tomorrow with so much on the line for A&M. And if they do, they should not get in. Like, if A&M blows it tomorrow, would you agree with me on that?
They're not getting in if they lose.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Nor should they. There have been years in the past where they were left out. We said, how could you? But if A&M blows against Ole Miss tomorrow, and I mean, no, you should not.
And it almost feels like, to me, it almost feels like that they're waiting on one of those teams from this league to go, huh, no, y'all lost. Because you look at the last four in, first four out, next four out, all those things, there's not a Big 12 to be found. Not on, you know, Lenardi's anyway. None of those spots are there. They got Colorado, Virginia, St. John's, and Indiana State is the last four in. Texas A&M, first four out. Mississippi State, last four buys.
I want some Patino in this thing. Come on, yeah, give me St. John's.
You see, like at Michigan State, they got them in as the last four by at the moment. So, I mean, it's.
I'm not super. You know what? I wouldn't be super excited about a St. John's matchup in the tournament.
No, I wouldn't either.
A bunch of old transfer guys, again, that have put together. Yeah. And you got a coach that's been there and done it. So, I mean, that would be a difficult scenario just because for these guys, St. John's is not even thought about as a basketball program. For us, you go, St. John's, okay, yeah, that's going to be a physical, you know, bruising basketball game. And that, of course, that was 30.
I would hope the name Rick Pitino could still raise some eyebrows.
For the coaches, sure.
I'm sure it will. No, it's some interesting names on that last line in. You know, I'd love to see. I hope we talked about this with Jake yesterday. I hope Indiana State is securely in. I don't think they should be. I don't even think they should be in the play-in game, Jason. And it would be a travesty to see them left out for a major conference team that's sort of underachieved. I'd love to see, I don't know, Colorado, Virginia, St. John's. Where's Gonzaga now? Are they still? Are they
lost last night? Yeah. My guess is they'll be probably a four. Five,
I'm
somewhere around
five.
The win at
five,
Kentucky is going to be
six,
really big for them.
Five or six, yeah, you're right. Hey, we need to get to our final break. We're just about out of time here in hour number one of the Wednesday Drive.
When you stand accused, Vaughn Defense.
On ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final minute or so of hour number one. Our final minute with Jason Caldwell. JC, yeah, we were talking during the break. I mean, women will find out where they're headed as well on Sunday.
Yep. Right now, Charlie Cream, who is the women's bracketologist, has Auburn as one of the last four byes. which means they would be an 11 seed, but not have to play a play-in game, which would be a big deal. But
no
that,
kidding.
But that means last four byes, which means you start to have a couple of things happen, and you might slide back a little bit if somebody else were to bump up. But right now it has Auburn as an 11 playing Louisville in Corvallis. And for those that haven't watched a lot of the women's tournament is, if you're a top four seed in the women's tournament, you play at home the first two rounds, which means Auburn would likely play Oregon State in the second round on its home court. As an 11, 10, whatever you are for Auburn, you're going to be forced to win a game on somebody's home court if you want to make the Sweet 16.
True road games. That's the way it is.
It
and
is.
Always, and has been.
Yeah, and it's very – I mean, and at least this one, you're not a two seed going to play at Rutgers the second round. So.
All right, Jason, let everybody know. I mean, as we said, there's a lot going on. Just let everybody know some of the things they'll find, how they can keep up with everything.
Yeah, we had videos, stories already from the assistant coaches today, photo gallery up from yesterday as well. Lots of things from football. Nathan King will be headed to basketball in Nashville tomorrow. Have full basketball coverage from up there. Be doing baseball from here because we got a lot of recruiting going on as well.
No kidding.
So lots of recruits on campus. So we'll have recruiting as well. Philip be doing softball. So have everything covered there at auburnundercover.com, and also follow me on Twitter at @ITATJason.
Thanks, JC. Appreciate you stopping in. Have a great rest of the week.
You too.
All right, we'll get to our top of the hour break. Hour number two coming up. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan, our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover. Joined us in hour number one. Hope you had a chance to hear Jason. If you missed any of that, go check out the podcast. Brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Podcast of The Drive available however you get your podcast. Google, I believe, has phased out their podcasting element, but Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or you can go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Big shout out to everybody at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Hour number two of The Drive brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Love for you to join in. You can call us on The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on The Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Bill, we're taking the show on the road next week.
That is right. A week from tomorrow, which is the opening round of the NCAA tournament. Well, they don't say it's the opening round anymore because they say round one are the play-in games. Which
no, I think they're okay with opening round again. I think they go
first. I guess
first,
you can call
first,
it opening round. Just don't call it the first round.
They're okay with first four, and first round. Maybe is how they've gone with it.
I don't know, but it's the first.
The round of 64.
It's the day where you have wall to wall basketball from 11 a.m. Until midnight.
Maybe
a little break around 6 o'clock.
One of the great sports days of the year. If you're a fan.
Yeah. It absolutely is. Yes, we're going to be live at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, as well as on the line. So ESPN 106.7 there from 2 until 6.
And I'm telling you, Bill, they do a cheeseburger at this place, the War Burger.
Uh-huh.
That we are going to get you to sample on air. It is sensational.
Twist my arm.
I'm telling you, if I gotta put a word in with the kitchen myself for it, this thing you got to try it. And a really cool atmosphere too on Opelika Road.
Hey, it's also
there in Midtown.
It's Thirsty Thursday, and we're there on Thursday, which is the first day.
How about that
of all of it? So yeah, looking forward to that. Their doors are going to open at 11 o'clock. That's when the first game starts. And we will be there 2 to 6. Jacob and Uncle T-Bone there from 2 to 4. We're in there. We might get there a little early as well. So stop by and join us at the Plaza Bar and Lounge Midtown a week from tomorrow. 334-321-1390, as we mentioned, is the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. We've got tons of audio. We have minutes and minutes of
one
audio.
One more thing about our trip to the Plaza next week is that that might end up being either a post-game show or a pre-game show for Auburn in the NCAA tournament. We don't know when Auburn's game will be in the NCAAs. Auburn could draw a Friday-Saturday or a Thursday-Saturday draw. They could draw a Friday-Sunday draw for the round of 64 and the round of 32. We're scheduled. I mean, we hope. Maybe we'll be able to react to an Auburn game, an Auburn victory. Maybe we'll be previewing a game going on that night.
Yeah, so that's really good. All right, like I said, we have a lot of audio. We got players yesterday, I think 7 players yesterday, 5 assistant coaches, all the defensive staff today. So we've got a lot of audio that we could run for you, but your calls come first, and let's get to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And is it Jones?
James.
Hey, James.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Oh, working. That's all I ever do anymore. Question. I missed Jason being on. I know Jeffrey Lee of Only Three had made a couple of comments this past weekend, and some others have made comments. Have we heard anything on the apparel deal? Because I keep hearing a lot of rumors, but well, I ain't got no concrete.
So. Nothing concrete. As a matter of fact, Jason was here, and we got into a lot of basketball. But, Jason just wrote a story late last night or early this morning? I guess it was early this morning. And the title of that story was Swoosh Time for Tigers. So everybody is on the same page. We're just not sure exactly when there will be an announcement.
Yeah. You would figure it'd have to be a year out to give them time to make everything, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Well, so. Yeah, and the deal with Under Armour does go into 25, so.
Yeah. So. All right, well, that's all I got for you today. I appreciate it, guys. Yeah. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, James. Yeah, I mean, there's been a good bit of talk that Tim Cook, who happens to sit on the board with Nike as well, was a little bit of help, more than a little bit of help, getting the two sides.
I know folks have wondered about Bo Jackson's lifelong partnership or career long partnership with Nike as well, and whether or not that influenced a decision for Nike to make. I don't know. We'll see how it turns out. Under Armour they've gone back and forth seemingly on on their commitment to the college apparel element of their business versus other streams of revenue. Adidas has been very involved whenever a marquee school opens up. Adidas has shown their interest, and Adidas represents a lot of high level schools. There's also, I guess, the question of if it's Nike. Nike has introduced they've introduced Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant themed, I guess it would be sort of subsidiaries that Nike still controls, but there are Jordan brand schools, and there are, I guess, now Mamba affiliated schools as well, with the Kobe Bryant element of the, so I think there's, even if it ends up being Nike, there still could be some questions about what direction and what the nature of the partnership is.
334-321-1390.
You know, I've been very happy with the Adidas stuff that I've been able to get through Troy.
I bet. So
they make a lot of
always be happy with free.
Oh, the price tag has been very agreeable.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to the drive hotline, and Jeff is up next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey guys, how you doing?
We're doing good. All right, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
Good. Couple of things. I'm hearing from a competitive radio station, they're talking about next week, Spokane, Alabama, and Auburn. Have you been hearing anything about that?
Yeah, well, that was, I don't know if that, I'm trying to remember, was that Palm or Lenardi's projection early this morning? Was it that both Auburn and Alabama, as well as Samford, could be in Spokane? And I believe they had Alabama and Samford matched up.
Oh, wow. That'd be nice. Stanford.
So the and I because I want to pull it up so I don't get the actual places wrong. The city's hosting first weekend action in the NCAA's next week. The places you could play if you're selected for the field: Indianapolis, Spokane, Pittsburgh, Memphis, Charlotte, Salt Lake City, Omaha, and Brooklyn.
So Spokane is the farthest distance that you could go.
Yeah, I mean, if Auburn were a one seed or a two seed, they would be projected to go to either Memphis or Charlotte, depending on who else was in the running, right, from the southeast. If Auburn's closer to, like, if Auburn's the last four seed on the board, they might just go wherever they have a spot open, which could be Spokane. It could be. Now, I think that the interesting thing with Spokane would be, if you go to Spokane, are you in a pod that could have you matched up with Washington State? Washington State is a team on the 5-6 line. Could be, if Auburn's a 4 seed, Washington State could be a 5 seed in that region. That would make Spokane, I think, a little bit more of a dangerous place to be, because you would expect the Washington State Cougars to have a noticeable advantage. That's also true of the team we were talking about in the first hour. Salt Lake City's a host. BYU is on the 5 line. BYU just won today. You don't want to be a 4 seed playing BYU in the round of 32 as a 5 seed, or else you'll be playing a road game, and there are places, like right now, I believe, let me pull up Jerry Palm's bracket, has BYU as a 4 seed in Salt Lake City, South Carolina as the 5 seed in that regional.
Good luck there. So, it's hard for me to believe that Auburn and Alabama are going to be in the same place.
They won't be playing. I mean, because they host two pods.
When they have them in different brackets.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
But it could be.
Birmingham together last year.
Yeah, like so Auburn could be, because you could be playing in the
different
same
regionals. They send different regionals to the same sites.
Yeah, they send a total of 8 teams to different sites. But so it's very unlikely that Auburn will be in a position where they could see an SEC team
in the second round, in the
Sweet 16. If 8 or 9 SEC teams, you know, depending on what happens with A&M and what happens with Mississippi State, could Auburn see Tennessee? Could Auburn be, because they only played each other once in the regular season. Could Auburn be a 4 seed with Tennessee as the 1 seed in the? Yeah, I'd say that
when you get 7 or 8 teams in, then you know sooner or later it's very likely to happen.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice. With this Spokane, is that a Thursday, Friday, or Friday, Sunday?
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. I could probably I could see if I could find that for you in the next couple of minutes.
Okay. Good. With this apparel deal, one last question, guys. We know how much money is involved with this switch over with Nike. That'd be nice.
No, but I don't think you're gonna be taking a big step back by any means. So no, I don't know.
No, I would think they would love to have a piece of Auburn.
I would think.
Nike would. Yeah, I think we're a hot seller. I used to live on the West Coast, and you'd be surprised what a big seller Auburn is on the West Coast. They love them out there.
Well, that's good to hear.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks. We look forward to tomorrow. The schedule looks great for me before I go to work, be able to catch the game. Unless we have 2 or 3 overtimes before the Auburn game, I pray not.
Well, that's Friday now. It's not tomorrow. It's Friday.
Yes, Friday.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I didn't want you to be disappointed. You changed your schedule all around, and it was a day when Auburn didn't play. That's great.
Yes, Friday. Yes, correct.
All right, good deal.
All right, guys, what's up? Have a good day, Jeff.
Good hearing from you. 334-321-1390. We will get to our first break here of hour number 2.
I have a couple of updates when we get back about some of the questions
we had. Go ahead.
I'm efforting one of them. I'm efforting the scheduling thing. So let's. But I do have some interesting notes about the kind of money that could be involved in an apparel deal and other accoutrement.
All right, we will get to our first break.
Pardon my French, Bill.
We've got some audio for you from interviews with players and coaches that we can get to as well, but your calls come first. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
This is Zach Alsterbrook.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls. You were efforting something.
Oh, right
as
on.
We
okay. Okay. So we were checking on the schedule for like which of the places in the NCAA tournament are
Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday.
I'll see if I can find that for you. I did find an article from what would this be? The News Gazette. Is that a I believe that's an Indiana newspaper and outlet.
I'm not familiar.
But
with
they've done some. They did some digging on public schools in the Power Five and their different apparel deals. This article was published in 2022, I believe, and they've checked on. Let's see here. Everyone in the Power Five, 67 of the 68 Power Five schools at this point were either Nike, Adidas, or Under Armour schools.
Uh-huh.
The outlier was Boston College, who is a New Balance school. Boston College has a deal with New Balance. I guess they figure out how to get the equipment the New Balance doesn't make themselves from other deals. The Illinois deal gets $4.6 million worth of free apparel, and then the apparel contract increases by $100,000 a year. Other larger schools like Nike has a 15-year, $250 million deal with Texas. I'm trying to figure out how much of this is apparel and how much of this is money being exchanged one way or the other, or if the deal is just if it's just an amount in apparel, if it's just a trade deal.
I don't know. It's usually not just apparel.
Right. I would think that there's a there's some combination of both, but no, there's it is a, there's let's see here. Illinois was in a contract where they were getting $1.2 million and about $500,000 in cash, and then so anyways, but it can vary greatly depending on the size of the athletic department, the footprint of the school,
right?
Other things like that, and yeah, we feel like what is it. Any day, any week, there could be.
I just think sometime before, I would think before the 1st of May. So, I mean, it could be sometime. And I checked. Spokane is a Friday, Sunday. It is March 22nd, 24th. You've got Charlotte, Omaha, Pittsburgh, and Salt Lake City are Thursday, Saturday. And then the others, including Spokane, are Friday, okay. Sunday. So, yeah, appreciate that, Jeff. Hope that answers questions from the last few callers. Again, we have audio from players and coaches. You want to run some?
Yeah, I just sent I sent Drew a crime dog. We could run some of that. I got to talk with
and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon, and let's get to The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Jerry has been hanging on. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Enjoyed the interview with Crime Dog. I just had a question. When is A-Day, and do we have a baseball series that same weekend?
It is April the 6th, which for a lot of people, I mean, that's a good time because it's not Easter weekend, it's not Masters weekend. It's the weekend in between, but it is. Yeah.
What were you about to say?
No, it's Final Four week.
It's Final Four Saturday. That's absolutely true. April 6th, which is not Masters weekend, right?
It is not.
But it is Final Four Saturday, among some other things. And pulling up the baseball schedule right now to see if Auburn has a game that same, or what Auburn's baseball team is doing.
Auburn is hosting Tennessee that weekend. Yes.
Okay. Appreciate the info.
All right, Jerry, appreciate the call. Yeah, so I mean that will be a pretty busy weekend. Jason was saying earlier, and again, I hope you had a chance to hear Jason when he was here. There's so many things going on. Big recruiting weekend coming up this weekend. Today, while we were over there, didn't really see any prospects because what they what they're trying to do, and it makes perfect sense, is they want recruits to watch practice. They want them to see how things are being done, not just bring them in and show them how impressive the facility is and things like that. They want them to see the players working and being coached. So we saw quite a few recruits yesterday. They're going to be a lot there this weekend. Auburn will go into full pads tomorrow.
How about that? Yeah, I knew it was soon. I wasn't sure if it was tomorrow or if it was
tomorrow. They go in pads tomorrow, and then they'll have some scrimmage-type activity on Saturday. I mean, it probably won't be full scrimmaging or anything like that. Let's see. Tomorrow may actually be a day just when it shells because it was still shorts yesterday. But they'll be in pads this week, and they want recruits to be able to see some of that as well. So spring football about to really – this is going to be the time when we ask questions, when we see coaches get to ask questions, there's going to be more for them to pull from because up till now, all they've seen is the guys doing the winter workouts, you know, seeing during winter workouts and seeing them out there in shorts the first couple of days of practice.
Is receiver the only spot you would look at where you think about the guys that are committed but aren't here yet? That's a spot where you could have some impact players joining the team because, I mean, namely Perry Thompson, but you've also but also Malcolm Simmons.
Yeah, you've only got four players
right
that aren't here already, and it's two receivers, Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons.
Thinking about how the roster will change between now and August that we know about, it's just those four.
Or a transfer portal.
And then the transfer portal right. In April, which could –
That's where there could be players that could get significant playing time at it.
I don't know anyone who is definitely going into the portal from Auburn.
No.
But I think there are a couple of spots where maybe there are veterans who look at their path to playing time this year.
Sure, if they're not down for a good bit of playing time and they've been around for a couple of years, I'd be surprised if they didn't enter the portal.
Right. So you could see some movement there. And like we were saying with Jason in the first hour, there are some spots. I think the number one spot, I would agree with Jason and you, that the interior defensive line feels like if Auburn can add a veteran to the rotation of what they have right now, the interior defensive line might be a spot where they would be eager to pursue players who fit that description in the transfer portal. Maybe edge rusher if there's a veteran because they really just have Jalen McLeod of guys who have played a substantial amount of college football and he's had an injury he's had injuries in his past. So I do wonder if they would look to add a veteran there if they can, you know, a 1-year rental type of guy. I was going to say receiver, but Auburn's adding a couple of impact freshmen.
Yeah, and they like what they've seen out of the transfers as well. I mean, with the guys that are already in, Auburn's got four new guys right now that are going through spring.
That's right.
They'll add two more this summer. So I don't know. I mean, it depends. Like Jason said, it depends on who's available. You know, who pops up in the portal, and is he somebody that you feel like could be an impact addition. I mean, it's sort of like when you're talking about quarterback. I mean, it depends on how do things go this spring and who becomes available, and do you feel like you have a legitimate shot if you went after them? But yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting yesterday that the starting when they went to 11-on-11, the starting interior guys were the two new guys, Gage Keys and Trill Carter. Were the first guys out there against the number one offensive line.
Well, and Trill Carter is somebody who was part of a rotation of defensive tackles on the inside against Texas. You know, Texas didn't really like to use guys more than 25, 30 snaps a game at that position. Trill Carter was one of the guys playing right around 20 to 30 snaps a game with four or five others in that rotation last year for Texas. Texas, if you remember, made the playoff. Like a pretty good defense that he was contributing for. So I think Auburn looks to have two Texas transfers that could have a very big role in their first year on the team in Bug Thompson and Trill Carter.
Yeah, no question about it. I'd be surprised if Thompson isn't a starter. And then Gage Keys was. He is a long guy. I mean, you hear that, but he's got long arms. He's big, but he...
Those are both dudes that have seen a lot of college football.
He's got long arms and legs, yes.
Keys and Carter are guys who have seen a lot of college football coming in. I think with Jason Jones and Is that where Zykevious is? Is he in that?
Zykevious has worked at the tackle and the end. So it's there where Keldrick, Gage, Zykevious, Jameson Travis. Yeah,
Bobby Jameson Travis.
No, those are the guys that are the tackles. And as Jason was saying, Zykevious works there at that tackle, but he can slide out there to the end where Keldrick Falk and DJ Reed and Amaris Williams
I got over to the conversation with Vontrell King Williams just in time for
if we ever need anybody to do a little voice work.
He's got pipes, man.
My goodness.
Well, you know what? An impressive, an imposing physical presence. I thought you were going to say if you ever need a bill collected.
Oh, that's true.
Send Vontrell King Williams.
No, I was just going to say. I mean, I'm thinking, hey, you know, he could do a little voiceover.
No, he's the goods. I would use, you know what? I would use him on the video packages whenever you can.
Oh yeah.
This guy's great, and he's excited about some of the. You know what? And I understand why. If you're someone trying to make your mark, having younger, raw, unproven players, because he's going to, not that it's an ego thing, but he's going to get a lot of the credit, deservedly so, if a Bobby Jameson Travis takes a big leap forward this year,
yeah.
Or if a DJ Reed, right, Bill? Like if somebody in that mix were to take a big jump forward, or one of the new arrivals, Malik Blockton, somebody like that, I think there would be a... There would be a credit for Coach Williams. So I think that's he's excited about the potential of some of these guys to develop.
Yeah, no question. We need to get to our final break. We'll be back to wrap things up here on the Wednesday Drive.
Attention, large property owners.